Yesterday I had a message on this, and today, as the day has progressed, some things have come up. So we're going to do what God's leading me to do and not follow my outline, which is actually kind of a good illustration for this sermon anyway at this point. So, there'll be some of the things that are here, but as the morning has progressed, some things have kind of led me to take a little bit of a different spin. And in fact, I have the same verses that Blake used for his message as part of this. So we're going to start there, since Blake's already done that for us. We're going to actually start there this morning. But I want to ask a question before we get too far into this. The title in the bulletin says, One Day or Day One. Now, this is a statement that has somehow begun to really make an appearance around us in the world today. Everybody's starting to talk about this statement in some ways. And unfortunately, I think that people are missing the point in reality. But if you want to turn to James and just hold that, we will be in James chapter 4 at some point. But I want to start where Blake was at this morning instead. But Romans chapter 14 has some really good information for us here. But I do want to ask this question this morning. How many of us make plans? All right, good. I'm not the only one. How many of you have plans for later this week? All right, now let's get a little personal. How many of you have ever said, I'm going to start a diet one day?
Never.
How many of you have ever said, I'll start taking care of myself one day? How many of you have ever said, I'll become a Christian one day? Because I hear it over and over and over again. I've got time. I've got this. I've got that. Well, as Blake reminded us this morning, there's a little bit more to it than that. Romans chapter 14. I'm going to go back to verse 5. And the reason I want to start in verse 5 is just simply because, I really could just read the whole chapter and it would really help us understand. But starting in verse 5, it says, One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and give God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself. Therefore, let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. The reason I want to start with this today is this. There are many of us today who allow others to say the word one day. Or words, I guess. Those are two. But here's the problem with that. And it's not that... ultimately it comes down to a personal decision that we all have to make. But when we allow someone to say the words one day and don't remind them of the brevity of life, and don't remind them of how easy that one day could be your last day. There's a way that we look at life that has become so difficult in the Christian walk. And that is this, that we have time for everything. We have time for this to happen and that to happen. And over the last few weeks, I've talked about perspective. And that's why we're still talking about perspective. We're talking about it in different ways. And it sort of has become a little bit of a series without it ever being planned to be. Because God is doing something here. And I think we all need to see it. What we're looking at here is simply this. We are in a church that needs to look at perspective. I talked a few weeks ago about how we can look at the small number of folks that are here and say that, you know, God has done, you know, maybe we're a church that's falling apart. Or maybe we're a church that's building a core. You know, there's ways to look at the different things that are going on. That's what we need to understand today. And when we look at this, we need to either look at life in one of two ways. One day or day one. I started a diet. I'm not saying this to brag. I started a diet a little over a week ago. Here's the thing. I tried to start a diet for about 2 years. Kept saying that one day I'm going to do this. One day I'm going to beat this. And finally I had to sit down and think to myself, one day never comes if I'm constantly saying one day. Eventually I had to get to a day where it became day one. Eventually, I had to get to a place where I realized that this is day one of the journey. But see, day one should always be our mentality. Day one should always be our mentality. The only time that I think we should ever say one day is that one day we will reap the rewards that God has set aside and promised us. One day, because we don't know when that day is. That is the only time that I want to ever use the words, one day I will be with Him. But until that day, this is day one of the rest of my life here on earth, getting to that point, living the life that He has called me to live and being what He's called me to be. See, I think we're reminded in Romans 14, there's a very key thing, and it's exactly what Blake keyed on this morning, and that is this. None of us lives to himself and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Plain and simple. There is nothing else in that. There is no wavering in the message that is there for you today. See, the problem is, and there's a few ways we can look at this morning. And I want us to understand something. The problem with the way this is that we get wrapped up in the worry of life. We get wrapped up in the, well, I really want to do this. I really want to do that. I mean, you know, if we're looking at it and we're thinking to ourselves, well, one day I'm going to fix who I am, but today's just not the day because there's so many plans that I've got that I need to do before I fix my life because I can't do it. If I'm that, I can't do this if I'm a Christian, so I need to make plans this way. Okay, I really want to just party and be young. I really want to just do what everybody else is doing. I want to do what my friends are doing. I want to live my life in a specific way, and then eventually, I've got time, I'll come back. Let me tell you something. There are many who thought they had time. Folks, as we've seen this past week, there have been suicides that we have heard about on a national scale. There have been deaths of local folks that we know well who have passed away in car accidents or people passing away that we didn't expect possibly. I mean, we have talked about all of these this morning. I've heard people discussing these things, even if it wasn't actually as a group. These things have been discussed. Y'all, what we need to understand today is this. No matter who you are, no one is promised tomorrow. No one is promised the next 5 minutes. And if we don't understand that and we don't get that through our heads, then the problem that we're going to face is that we're going to end up right where we deserve to be. If we're not listening to the Word of God and answering the call that He's laying on our lives. If He is laying it on your heart to do something about it, to change one day to day one, then do it. And don't let that day get away. Because there's no better time than the present, right? Is that what people say? I mean, I'm trying to avoid the cliches, but sometimes they make sense. There is no better time than right now. There's no better time than this moment. Because today is not yours, regardless of how you view it. Whether you think you're the Lord's or not, it's still the Lord's. Whether you're with Him or not with Him, your life is in the Lord's hands. And it tells us that right here in Romans. Now, if we go over to the book of James, which is originally where I was going to start. James chapter 4, verse 13.
Now, James chapter 4 is similar to what Romans is saying, but there's something here that we need to understand, because this is also talking about us making plans. You know, I mean, Paul reminds us who owns our days. I mean, he reminds us who our life belongs to. He reminds us those things, but it says here in verse 13 of James chapter 4, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or that." He continues in this chapter to talk about the boasting that takes place. He talks about the boasting of life, that we somehow get wrapped up in boasting about who we are. All right, I said there were going to be a couple different ways that we look at this morning. Number one is this. I've already talked about it a little bit. It's either one day or day one, and you have to decide which one it's going to be today. You can continue to live your life in a moment of saying that one day I will. Well, as James reminds us here, he says this. There are many of you who are making these plans for a year, for 2 years, for 10 years down the road. You're trying to put your life in order. And I have gone through a struggle. It's confession time. I've gone through a struggle over the last 10 years in my own life, trying to figure out why my life is not what I planned it to be. Well, guess what? It's not my life to plan. No matter how many plans I can make for myself, something is going to stop any plan that was not made with God. And I'm going to guarantee that to you right now. Life comes at you unexpectedly. And the answer to that is absolutely. And the reason is because when we're with God, we can expect some things, because He will show His plan to us as we pray and we seek and we follow. But you want to know why life hits you out of left field sometimes? You want to know why struggles happen completely unknown to us, and then all of a sudden everything happens and we're like, how did I get here? The answer is we weren't following the Lord. Somewhere along the way, He may have given you signs. Maybe it's a health thing where you were not taking care of yourself. And I got there, and I've been there, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to go on a diet, is because you're struggling with things. You start to struggle to sleep. You start to struggle to eat the right things. You start to struggle with your weight. You start to struggle with different health concerns, and people are going, well, you know, you need to take care of yourself. Well, the reality of it is that yes, you do. But there's little signs that happen that give you a heads up, like, hey, something's not right here. Those things are part of who you are. It's part of who God created you to be. Maybe it's a friendship that's not exactly what you needed to be in life. There's something unhealthy about it. If something's unhealthy, it gives you signs. I mean, there are signs in it. Friendships that are toxic to you and your relationship with the Lord, they have signs. There's red flags. There's things that happen that show you shouldn't be a part of it. Maybe there's a sin that somebody just continues to commit. You know, the reality of it is, and here's where we got to understand, Paul had a thorn in his side. Nobody knows what it is, but Paul talks about a thorn that nags him, that he prays about, and that the Lord never delivers him from. Now, we can speculate. We can sit here and say, well, I believe it might have been this, or I believe it might have been that. Well, I'm just going to tell you, Paul still has a lot for us to learn from him, in the simple fact that Paul himself was human and he dealt with the same struggles we do. I have learned more from Paul over the last couple of weeks in studying him and looking over some things that he's doing and some things that he's praying about and trying to figure some things out. Paul was alone a lot of times in ministry. Paul spent time in places Paul didn't want to be. Do you think Paul planned to go to prison? No. Do you think Paul planned to be shipwrecked? Not just once. A couple times. Do you think Paul planned for these things to happen in his life? No. But Paul faced a lot of the same things that you and I face today. You see, Paul was called to a different plane. Paul was called by Christ to do something that he didn't necessarily want to do. How do I know this? Because when Paul was living the life Paul wanted to live, Paul was killing Christians. Paul was blessing himself by bragging about what he was doing. And then Paul had an experience where the Lord showed him, I need you on my team. Here's my plan. Let's follow this. Let's go this route. It's not going to be easy. And yes, there's probably going to be some bumps in the road, like a shipwreck or two, like a snake bite. I mean, we could go on and on about the things that Paul had trouble with in his life. And the reality of it is that we still don't know all these troubles that Paul is facing. And yet he still makes the determination of what? I have determined, no matter what my circumstances, to be content. Because I know what it's like to be rich. I know what it's like to be poor. I know what it's like to be fed. I know what it's like to go hungry. I know what it's like to go through all of these situations. And I'm going to tell you this. The reason that Paul did that, he says it himself, is that there was a sacrifice that was made for him that was worth a whole lot more than anything he could go through in life. Someone gave up everything so that he could have life. That someone was Jesus Christ. And yet, see, Jesus came and he lived and he died, and his blood is the only thing that can offer us salvation today. As good as Paul may have been when he died, Paul's blood doesn't save. As good as Peter may have been when he died, as good as Joe may be when he passes away, his blood's not going to save anybody. My blood's not going to save anybody. People continue to tell me how great a man my dad was, and while I believe it, my dad's blood would not save anyone. See, here's the reality. I mean, I've watched my dad live day in and day out, but Jim Green's salvation has nothing to do with mine. Because dad had a relationship with the Lord, and so do I. And one day, I had to come to that crossroad. I had to come to that place in life. Was it Robert Frost that said, two roads diverged in Yellowwood, and I took the one less traveled? You know? I mean, when we're standing at that crossroad, and we're looking around us, and we're trying to figure out where we're going to go, we're trying to figure out which path we're supposed to take. The one less traveled is the one that we see Christ talk about. But when we stand there, we have to somewhat have a plan. I mean, not our plan. Our plan's only going to lead us to destruction. If I'm trying to live within my own means, if I'm trying to live within my own self, my plans mean nothing. I mean, I'm still going to die. What is it? I can't even remember. I'm not even worried about it. But day one versus one day starts at that crossroad where we can choose to say, all right, I'm going to start today, and this is going to be day one of the journey, because I can no longer afford to just take chances that one day might not come. I mean, as we go down the road thinking the one day thing, and we constantly hear the word of God, and we see it put into action around us, but we find ourselves in a circumstance. See, this is the second thing I want to talk about. The one-day mentality is a dangerous place to be. When you have a one-day mentality, you're going down a road, and you're having narrow misses left and right. How many of you have ever been in a car accident? Let's just be honest here. We're among friends. All right? Could you or should you have died in that accident possibly? Let's just be real. How many of you have ever had a near-death experience or an experience where the doctor looked at you and said, how are you alive? I've been there. I got wheeled into an emergency room with my cousins after a wreck where we rolled three times. We were down in Myrtle Beach when we got to the, Holden Beach when we got to the emergency room, the nurses, they had called in extra staff. They had heard about a two-car vehicle where five people were in it and how bad it looked on the road. They were expecting dead bodies. And not a single one of us came in there. In fact, we all walked out. Nobody was even really hurt. See, God has plans. But there are days where we are reminded how brief life is. And if we don't answer the call that God is placing in our heart today, then there's a problem. Because the moment that we decide that one day will come, but it'll be down the road. And then day one for God comes for the end of your life. There's a problem. Because you no longer have that one day to look forward to. Because there will be a day one that will happen in your life that you will never have an opportunity again to hear God's word preached to you, to hear God's word speak to you, and to see you be able to make a move toward what God is calling you to do in your life. That day one will be the day you die. And it's either going to be day one for you in paradise, day one for you in heaven, day one for you with the Lord, or day one for you apart from the Lord. Right? But in the end, we know that it says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. There is one day that everyone will confess that God is God. But that day might be too late for you if you don't listen to the call on you today. This one day mentality is like we're driving down a road. We're driving down the interstate with all these exits. Each exit is day one. Each exit can be day one, and they can all head to the same location. But as long as you're headed down the path that you want to go, you're passing up all the exits, you're missing the opportunities. You're missing the chances that you have for day one to start that day. For your path to take a different direction, and you to go where the Lord wants you to go, and for you to do what the Lord wants you to do. Now, it may not be that all those roads are interstates. You may be driving down an interstate of one day and you see day one and day one and day one. Now, the first day one might be another interstate. The second day one might be the curviest road you've ever been on, and the third might be a gravel road, but that's the path that we're going to take. And when God calls you to get off on that exit and you get off on that exit, it may not be the exit you hoped it would be. You say, well, I'm going to take this because it looks like it might be a good road. Well, 2 miles down the road, it might become gravel. But maybe say you got off on the gravel road and then you took it down 2 miles and it became an interstate. See, there's a difference in the way that works, because not everybody's path is going to look the same. Not everybody's struggle is going to be the same. Not everybody's road is going to be paved the same way. I might go through a difficult time in life, but I can promise you that the end destination is going to be the same as you if you're off on a road that the Lord has led you to be on. I mean, nobody makes it through this life alive, and not everybody makes it through, and they're not, I mean, we're dealing with struggles. I deal with hardships. I deal with difficulties. I deal with difficult things every single day. I deal with difficult people every single day. And many people deal with me, so I know they do as well. But the problem with life is simply this. We have forgotten who gave it to us. We have forgotten that our life only belongs to one. Whether we live or die in Him, He's the God of the dead and the living. So if we're spiritually alive and we're allowing His Spirit to move within us and we're allowing Him to move us forward. Actually, let me rephrase that. If His Spirit is alive in us and we are living in His Spirit, there's nothing we can do on our own. I don't want to say that we have to allow it, because God will move in us. I have to be careful about that. Because I can't allow God to do anything. God's going to do what God wants to do. He's sovereign. He's God. He is the one in charge. But I will say this. When we are actively living in God's Spirit, when we are actively allowing ourselves to be a part of what God is already doing in our lives, and we are awake and alert in that moment, what we will find is that God is doing great things. No matter what the road we're on, the ride is smooth. What does Jesus said? Come unto me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy. Or my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I mean, he promised us these things. See, but what we find is this. God wants us to do great things in our lives through His Spirit. And as we look at that, and as we think about that, and as we start to move forward in life, there's simply this. One day needs to become
day one in your life today. See, the last thing I want to mention about that is this. One day is how we all want to live life. That life is a dangerous life to live. Because one day may not get here according to the plan you have of one day. The only one day that we should look forward to, as I said earlier, is this. One day, we will stand before God in judgment. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day, he will separate the sheep from the goats. One day, there will be a day that we go to heaven or we don't. One day we will see that life or we won't. One day we will find the promise that he gave us in Scripture or we won't. Well, actually, we will find that promise. It's going to be one promise or another. But one day we will see his glory. The question is, what side will you be on when you find it? What side will you be on when you get there? Which side is he going to push you to? Are you going to be on the sheep or the goats? Are you going to be on the right or the left? Are you going to say today that this is your day one in living a life that is going to lead you to where God is and where he will be for eternity? Or are you going to say that today is your one day I'll have a chance to make a choice? Because really, if we look at it, based on what we're talking about this morning, there's really two day ones. Could you imagine if God had said, if Genesis started this way, it said, in the beginning, God said, one day I'll create the heavens and the earth. God didn't do that. God did it. He created the heavens and the earth. I mean, there is no one day with God. It's all day one. Either you're choosing day one to go down a path that will lead you to the absence of God for eternity, or you're choosing to go down a path that will lead you to the presence of God for eternity. Heaven or hell. That's what your options are. And that's what his options are to send you. And it's all the lifestyle you're choosing to live today. This one day versus day one is a difficult mentality, because when it all becomes day one, there is no more one day other than to say that one day I'll be with the Savior. One day I will see him face to face. One day I will be in heaven, because that's the promise because of the path I'm on. Or we can say, one day I'll make a choice. One day I'll have an opportunity. One day, way down the road, I got plans I need to take care of first. Folks, living in your plan is a dangerous place. Living in where you want to be is a danger to you and to those around you. Because not only is it going to put you in a spot that you're not ready for, it's going to put others around you in a spot where you're a stumbling block. Or vice versa, it may be that you know someone that's in that spot, and it puts you in a bad spot, especially if they're family. That's a difficult place to be, because you don't want to tell them about the Lord because you're afraid of them never wanting to talk to you again. That's a fear we've got to put aside as well. Because sometimes being a stumbling block doesn't mean anything more than walking away when you should have said something. When you allow someone to live in their life in a way that they don't understand, if you're not speaking the word instant, in season and out, if you're not sharing the gospel, and that can come as simply as the moves that you make in result of a situation that may happen in your life. That comes when you do as Paul did, and you determine, no matter what your circumstances, to be content. I encourage you today, make this day one. Make this day one, if you haven't made it day one already. Maybe for some of you it's day 12. Maybe it's day 273. Maybe it's day 5,364. I don't know. But if there's anyone in here that needs it to be day one, today's the day. So as we close things out this morning, we're going to sing one verse, number 201, Just As I Am. But if you have a decision to make, if you have a choice that you need to make today,
to step out and make it day one, then by all means, I encourage you, please, step out and make it day one. Because it's either day one, or it might be that one day never actually will come.